Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guests are all from Prisma Health, the new hospital. It's actually not a new hospital, is it? It's been around the Upstate for years, but it's a new name. You guys just switched over last year to Prisma Health from GHS. We have Kristen Mott, the Prisma Hospital school teacher. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Happy we also to be
have.
Here.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to have you. We also have Meredith Morgan and Becky Pearson. They are Children's Miracle Network managers. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. The Children's Miracle Network is something that listeners to this station are probably going to be familiar with because every year we do Radiothon, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Because it's coming up again. Surprise, surprise, it's coming up in March rather than August like it normally does, or like it used to, I should say, because now it's normally going to be in March. We've changed the date that we're doing all of this, and we're going to talk about that. But I'm going to start with a question that I normally ask, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? Meredith, tell us about the Children's Miracle Network.
Well, I am a Children's Miracle Network manager, and I've been in the position for about 7 or 8 months. And one of the things that's so great about our position is that we get to work with the children at the hospital and get to work with the doctors and the nurses and people like Kristen. And we're really a liaison between what they need at the hospital and what Children's Miracle Network headquarters in Utah can give them. So we're working with our partners to raise money for them. We're working with Intercom at the Radiothon, which we're here to talk about, to raise money for them. And we're just also working in so many different ways to find other partners in ways that we can help them raise philanthropic dollars. And that's really what this is all about, is raising money for items that aren't paid for by insurance. And that's really what CMN is about, is raising money for the children and their families and their needs.
Yes. And this is, you mentioned Utah, the headquarters in Utah. Children's Miracle Network is a national organization, and you guys do this kind of thing all over the country. But this particular radiothon that Entercom has put on for, I think this is the 12th year?
12th year.
A dozen years now. I think last year we crossed the $3 million mark, which is, I mean, that's humongous. And so much credit. I have remarked on a number of occasions how generous the Upstate population is. Just the people in the Upstate are amazing givers. And Americans are amazing givers in general. But the Upstate is even a cut above. And so it's nice to do something like this. But the radiothon that we hold here, all this money stays locally.
It does. And that's one of the great things for all the listeners to know. If they're thinking about giving or if they've given before, all the money stays local. So everything you give is going to go to the kids in the hospital and their needs. And I think that's really important when you're thinking about where you want to give. And do you want to give to an organization that you don't know where the money goes to? But you know here, it's going to stay local and you can see where your money goes.
Yeah.
You can go into the hospital. You can see what the doctors and nurses are doing. People like Kristen, who's a school teacher, you can see what they're doing on a daily basis and know your money is really making a difference.
Becky Pearson is another CMN manager. Tell us about your impressions of Radiothon. How important is it to the kids for something like this to happen?
Well, I'll echo what Meredith said, that everything, you know, stays local. And everything that's raised at Radiothon directly benefits the kids and their families.
Yeah.
One of our parents of one of our miracle children, she talks about, she has two children who have chronic illness. So they spend a lot of time in our hospitals and clinics. And she talks about the days that they're in the hospital and have appointments or treatments. And some of the days are more ouchy than others. Those days, there's not something magic that happens that those days get added back onto their childhood somehow, you know, as healthy days. So a lot of the funds that we raise through Children's Miracle Network go to things that help give children a childhood when they're in the hospital. And that's crucial because, I mean, it's childhood, right?
Yeah.
We all want
more. You only get one.
Yeah. That's right. You only get one.
Every that's single true. Day is precious.
That's true. And that goes to the spirit of treating the whole child, not just a sickness, which is a lot of what Kristen's position is about, too, with school.
Yeah.
Yes. And let me ask about that, because this is the first time, I think. I've done a few interviews about Radiothon before, and this is the first time I've had a school teacher.
Surprise, surprise.
And I think I was – I think it was vaguely aware that, especially for kids that need to spend extended periods of time in the hospital, you know, the and those are the ones that we frequently hear about during Radiothon, not the only ones that the Children's Hospital treats.
Right.
Sometimes it's they're just there for a couple of days. Maybe they got sick or had an injury or something and they need to stay there for a few days. But then they leave and they go back to their childhoods. But there are other children that spend weeks at a time,
right.
even months at a time in the hospital, and they still have to learn.
Absolutely.
They still have to learn stuff.
Yeah.
And so, I think I was vaguely aware that there are some sort of educational services that are provided by the hospital. But this is the first time I've ever gotten to talk to anybody that actually does them.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here to talk about it.
What's it like?
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's so cool to see medicine and education come together and to be a part of a team that says, hey, this is needed. And we want to serve, like Becky said, the whole child. We want to serve every aspect of their care. And so I work with children on all six pediatric units. So we have our surgery kids, our hematology and oncology kids, our two general floors of pediatrics, and then our intermediate and intensive care units as well. And so that's going in and saying, hey, these are our services. I can gather some assignments for you. We can work on them together one-on-one and just make sure that when you do go back to school, because you're going to go back to school, that you're prepared and you're caught up and
right.
really just taking it off the plate of the parents and saying, this is here for you. This is a service we can provide. And most parents, I mean, I would say 99% are so thankful when I do show up and I say, I'm the hospital school teacher, and their faces just light up, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. You know, and then some of our patients are like, what? Like, you what? School found me here in the hospital? I thought this got me out of school.
Right.
You know, and so
it's not like snow days.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so it's really just being the one that says education is just as important here as it is outside of these four walls and saying you're going to go back and you're going to be healthy and, you know, providing that.
I can imagine, and I'm guessing most of our listeners can imagine, that going to school in a hospital is not like going to school.
It's quite different.
It's very different.
Yes.
But you mentioned that it's an interesting opportunity to combine medicine and,
yes.
and education.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what sort of opportunities like that are presented to teach the kids something about where they are rather than
right.
being in a traditional school.
Yeah. And so I just kind of, it's really just about normalizing their
sure.
hospital stay and just saying that these things happen outside and they also happen inside of the hospital as well. And so teaching them that, you know, we have our curriculum, but we also can work on their social skills, their, you know, their coping skills and all of those things like that, like I said, to holistically treat them and push them back out into their childhoods and, you know, go about their merry way. And so it's been really fun to just kind of be a part of that.
Do any of the kids express kind of an increased interest in the medical professions because of the,
absolutely.
The time that they've spent
yeah.
and the education that they've received in the hospital? Or is it something that they just want to be done with and get away from?
Well, I did have one child who was like, Mom, don't sign the papers. I was like, oh, okay. You know what? We don't have to. It's fine. But no, a lot of them have really taken an interest in like respiratory therapy. That's been something that
wow.
they've really enjoyed learning about. And then just with your nurses and your doctors and their specialties as well, you know, pulmonology, cardiology, neurosurgery, all of those things like that, because we have such great doctors and nurses that, you know, provide the best care for them and show them that they're compassionate humans that want to see them do well. And so, yeah, it's always talked about that, like, you could go and be on and do this and that and the other, whether it's in medicine or whether you do want to go into the educational field as well and say, oh, I could teach children in a hospital in a completely different setting and saying, you know, we are one-on-one and you teach all grade levels rather than just one grade level with a class of 20, 25 students.
Now, when I got the email from Meredith about you coming to this interview, I noticed a particular way that she put it. And I hate to hang a distinction on an article, but she called you the school teacher. And I imagine.
Yes. Singular.
Are you the only school teacher
the
for the hospital?
Only for the hospital. And in the upstate. And
many,
really in South Carolina.
How many kids are we talking about here that you have to, that you are responsible for educating?
Yeah, so like I said, on all six units of our pediatrics facility. And so I typically go in on like the third day of a hospital stay for kids. That excludes weekends and holidays and those things like that. But the third school day that they possibly missed,
right.
And introduce services. And so they can say yes or no.
Presumably, if they're only spending a couple of days in the hospital,
right.
they can catch up on that
right.
work.
Exactly.
We're talking about the kids that are going to be there for a long time.
Yes. And so those I see frequently.
Okay.
Day in and day out, just gathering assignments, working them with them for an hour a day, and making sure that they do stay caught up, and just going through, you know, and advocating for them, getting excuses, providing homebound services, and kind of walking alongside the school teachers at their home-based school to say, you don't need to come out today. You taught your 28 kids in your class. I can pick up here, you know, and just providing that as well. Because most teachers in the public schools are very excited that this is a service as well.
Yeah.
Because after spending 8 hours with kids, you know, in different classes and different ages, you may not want to go and do one more thing at the end of the day. And so I'm happy to provide the service at the hospital and, you know, see these kids. And so, yeah, sometimes we have just a few on census, and then other times I am seeing lots of children every day, every
really
week.
Busy.
Yes.
So you're really kind of a liaison between
the
school that they would normally attend
yes.
and their stay there in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And just advocating for their educational needs. You know, just myself. And I take that very seriously to know that, you know, somebody is here and going to fight for that, as well as with your grades, your absences and excuses, making sure the parents understand what happens in the hospital. And then when they leave and go back to school, or if they're home for a little while, making sure that they know that they're taken care of there as well.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask about. Mm-hmm. You mentioned homebound services.
Yeah.
There is a period of time where the children don't need to stay at the hospital
right.
anymore, but they're not really ready to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
They spend time at home and they've still got to catch up on
right.
that schoolwork.
So that's another part as well, is that I set up those services for them and
wow.
contact different districts. Yeah, because we serve almost all of the upstate districts, and making sure that when they do go home, that there is going to be a homebound teacher assigned to them, and that they do start seeing them for their allotted amount of homebound hours that they've been awarded.
Well, whatever you get paid for that, I can't imagine it's enough. And that's one thing. That's one thing that this program, like Radiothon, goes to pay for
yeah.
is services of a school
right.
teacher like you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not included in insurance payments or medical bills
right.
or anything like that. That's something that's covered by extras, and
right.
that's what Radiothon is for.
Yeah.
Radiothon pays for the things that might otherwise fall through the cracks, Meredith.
That's correct. And one thing to add about talking about the school program, that is one of the asks at our Radiothon and coming up in March.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at that, it's everything that you would need in a school. You know, you're looking at paper and pens and notebooks, but you're also looking at Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm.
And those are very expensive.
Yeah.
And that is not covered by insurance. So that is something that the philanthropic dollars or the donation dollars from our listeners and the wonderful community can give mm-hmm. to Kristen and help her out and help these kids out, so that when they're studying every day and learning, the environment is like it would be in their classroom. They can have that Chromebook or that mm-hmm. computer. They can have the right books to read for a 12th grader or a 10th grader. And that's going to be very different than books you would read
yes.
for a 5th grader.
Yeah,
and she
absolutely.
Has to have all of that. So all those are very important.
Well, and it's an interesting thing to think about how technology has affected education
yes.
Just even in the past, you know, decade or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that makes it easier in a way for you to,
yeah.
to accomplish your task in terms of making sure the kids have an opportunity to learn what they need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to do this, gosh, when I was in school, I mean, we had kind of computers. Like, technically they were computers, but they were very, very rudimentary computers compared to what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine trying to do that.
Right. And just gathering assignments. I mean,
yeah.
teachers email me, or they just put it onto Google Classroom for their kiddos, and then, you know, not necessarily dropping them off at the hospital
right.
or finding time to do that. And so, yeah, it's great that most of their assignments are already on Google Classroom. It's just their teachers tell me this is what they need to work on. I take the Chromebook that's been provided by so many of these great community upstate givers, and then we work on them together. Yeah.
Well, and the technology is what allows you to do that. And that's, again, the kind of thing that Radiothon, the donations collected during Radiothon go to pay for, which I think we haven't mentioned yet when it is. March 5th and 6th. Do I have those dates right, Meredith?
That's correct.
March 5th and 6th. So put it on your calendars. It's going to be coming up very, very shortly. and make sure that you are prepared to make a donation. Whatever, what kinds of donations do we ask for during Radiothon, Meredith?
We ask for so many different kinds of donations. So many of our departments in the hospital that treat our pediatric patients need donations. So it could be anything from a blood pressure monitor. It could be the NICU Angel Eyes that was on last year as well, very popular. And that's one of the most, I think, really something that resonates with everyone in the NICU, in the little bassinets. There's something called Angel Eyes, and it looks over the bassinet. And so wherever the parents or grandparents or whoever can look at that, they can see their baby anytime.
It's basically like a web camera?
It's like a web camera that that goes on the bassinet. And so if the parents have to go to work, or if someone has to take a break, or a grandparent says, I want to see my grandbaby, they can log into that webcam and see their child that's been in the NICU. So that's really an amazing thing that we're raising money for. They're almost $3,000 a piece.
Wow.
So they're very expensive, and it's not something that you can just go buy with insurance dollars.
Right.
That's one of the things. This year, we're also asking something else that's pretty interesting, but also something needed in the HEMOC or the hematology department. Not department, but in the unit. We're asking for sleeper sofas because the kids in the hematology stay so much longer than a normal stay. And so the sleeper sofa, which is also around $3,000, they're there for the parents and the family to stay. And, you know, when your child is in the hospital, you don't want to leave them. And the child doesn't want you to leave them.
Yeah.
So to be able to provide them something that the parents can stay there, that they can rest, they can work on, work from that sleeper sofa, anything they need to do is very important.
You know, the sleeper chairs and sleeper sofas are things that I think I remember having heard requests for before in previous radiothons. And they are very useful devices. It's not like, you know, somebody's probably thinking, well, I could get a sleeper sofa for less than $3,000. Mm-hmm. It's not like the fold-out sofas that you might have in your basement or something like that that I remember sleeping on when we'd go and visit family, you know, across the country as a kid. These are really nifty devices that really make the stay comfortable for parents that are going to be there indefinitely. I mean, they don't know when they're going to go home.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Becky, you mentioned earlier, and I thought it was interesting, the way that having to stay in a hospital kind of steals those days of childhood from the children that are there. And you do, that's what your goal is, to mitigate that as much as possible. One of the great things about Radiothon is that we get to hear as listeners, and we get to put on the air as the radio professionals, guests, people that have either been through your program, are currently in the hospital, sometimes even staff, doctors and other staff that work there at the hospital. And I was reminded of a story that I heard, I think it was this past radiothon, maybe the one prior, of a 16-year-old who had been there a decade ago, you know, when he was 4 or 5, 6 years old, and has gone through his treatment, has finished, and now he's gotten his driver's license. And it really made the impression on me how much giving back, not just taking as few days as you can from childhood, but really giving them the rest of their lives.
That's a really lovely observation. I'm glad.
Well,
that
thank you.
I'm glad that
I'm
story
a romantic at heart.
A hospital romanticist. I'm really glad that story resonated with you, and I hope it did with other listeners also. And this year's Radiothon is no different. We have a lineup of some really spectacular families and children and their stories to be told on air that are just samples of everything that happened every day in the in the children's hospital. So in reference to the, you know, kind of minimizing the number of days that we want to reduce childhood, that's what Radiothon is all about, is adding back to that. And the spirit of Radiothon, even in the hospital, those 2 days, is an overflowing heart, is kind of how I think of it. And that spirit is definitely a huge part of what our partners at Entercom bring to the entire Radiothon event. And we're so grateful for that.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate that. And you mentioned what it's like to be there, that it's this big event. And it really is. If you get a chance, by the way, it's one thing to call in to the number that we give out and make a donation. That it would become a miracle maker if you're going to give $20 a month or something like that. If you want to make a one-time donation, whatever it is, it all adds up. It's amazing how it adds up. But if you get a chance to go down to the hospital, physically drive down there and walk in the lobby and see this whole production going on, it's amazing that we've got booths set up for every single radio station that we have, seven or eight of them.
Seven.
And it's this humongous production. Our engineered staff is pulling their hair out the entire week trying to get all of this set up for the day. But it's so much fun to see all of this going on and to hear the stories that get told from people, like you said, people that might be there now, people who never thought that this would happen. That's why my wife and I make donations every year, is because we don't want to be in the position. Thank God we have three healthy children, but we don't want to be in the position of having to get help like that and not have it available. And I wouldn't want anybody else to be in that position. So we make our donation every year, because if we were in that position, we would want other people to make the donations to us.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And again, it's not self-serving. I've observed before how good it feels to make a generous donation like that, to be a giver. And to do it not because you're getting something out of it, but because you're helping somebody else.
I think that one thing to say about that, for those who do want to make donations, it is really true that you are making miracles. You're changing these kids' lives.
Miracle makers.
That's why it's called a miracle maker.
There you go.
And it's very true. So no matter how large or small the donation, whether you can be a miracle maker every month for a year or whether you can give a one-time donation, that money really makes a difference in these kids' lives and the parents' lives, who wake up one day and their whole life has changed. Everything's different. It's not like it was 24 hours ago. And so now they have to go into the hospital and they have to figure out their new life. And to know that there's money there and there's resources there and there's people that are willing to help them makes such a difference to these families. So being that miracle maker and being a part of that difference, we cannot thank everyone enough for that.
$15 a month for a miracle maker, $180 a year. But even better, that breaks down to 50 cents a day, which is
50 cents a day.
50 cents a day.
You could find 50 cents a day in your couch.
I know. And that's what miracle makers do.
And it's amazing. And which is not to say that you should stop there. I mean, if you want to become a miracle maker double times over and do $30 a month, if you can afford it, absolutely. If you can only afford $5 one time, we'll take that too.
Right,
it's just being able to give helps everybody who's at the Children's Hospital. And that's what Radiothon is for. Again, coming up March 5th and 6th this year, that's what all of those donations go for, is making sure that all of those things, like school teachers.
Yes.
And it's funny because during Radiothons, listeners hear, sometimes we'll have a bumper or something that says, kids eat, 5,000 cups of Jell-O a year or something like that, or we go through 250,000 Band-Aids every year. And those are the kinds of things that really make an impression on kids, is just having, even though it's no fun to be sick, it's no fun to be in the hospital, it's no fun to get stuck, you try and make it as ouchless as possible, I think somebody said, making it as small a disruption in their ordinary lives is the goal. And that's the purpose of Radiothon, and that's the purpose of Children's Miracle Network. And for March 5th and 6th, at least, that's the purpose of Entercom, too, is to make sure that you guys can get the donations that you need to cover everything throughout the year. Kristen Mott, the Prisma Hospital school teacher, the Prisma Hospital school teacher, the only one. Amazing. And Meredith Morgan and Becky Pearson, CMN managers, Children's Miracle Network managers, have been my guests today. Thank you so much, ladies, for being here.
Thank you.
And good luck on Radiothon.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.